We're excited. We're going to kick into a new year by talking about something that I've actually been pretty excited about. It's been on my heart for a while. Ryan and I actually spoke on a topic similar to this at Celebrate Recovery last year. And it's just been something that, you know, it just kind of stirs in your heart. And you feel like you figured out part of it, and then you hear the message again, or you look at the notes again, you're like, man, I haven't figured that part out yet. I'm still learning my lesson in that area. And so I feel like this topic is really a great way. We got together with our team, and we talked about, we brainstormed, how could we end the year where we're finishing well, and then we're kicking into a new year by starting strong? And so we thought we could bring this topic to our entire church family because it's something that we all deal with in one way or another. And what we titled it, let's see if this will work, we titled it Stay Hungry. Stay hungry. Can you say that with me? Stay hungry. I guess it would be repeating me. Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Now, I know this could be sort of, you know, let's just address the elephant in the room. We just came out of holidays, so, you know, people probably ate a little bit too much. And the idea of staying hungry just doesn't quite sound great at this moment. Or maybe it wasn't about food. Maybe it was just spending way too much money. And now you're looking at your budget that was busted and thinking to yourself, how can I stay hungry for the next year? Or maybe you're going into a detox or a fast, and you're like, thanks. I'm going to have stay hungry in my mind the entire week that I'm eating green vegetables and eating no sugar. So now that the air is clear, we knew what we were getting ourselves into when we decided to call this weekend Stay Hungry. It's not just about food or money. It's really about how can we stay hungry for God's best in our lives. You see, at Champion Center, we're all about moving your life forward toward God's best. And so how can we, as we finish this year well and start next year strong, how can we stay hungry for God's best? We have some ideas and have some thoughts. I think really it comes down to staying hungry for the right thing in the right way. If you feel like maybe you fell short in 2017, maybe you failed in some areas like I did. I know I could raise my hand to that. There were some areas that I fell short in 2017. Being able to look yourself in the mirror with enough confidence and faith to say, last year was last year. And it is literally a new day and a new year that is staring us in the face. And so instead of getting bogged down with the things that could distract us, why not choose to flip the script, flip the switch inside of us as we kick into a new year and say, I'm going to stay hungry. I'm going to do those things that will help me adjust my mindset to stay hungry for God's best this coming year. The truth is that God created you and I for a need for Him. We all have a hunger. We've heard it maybe before, that God-shaped hole inside of us. And as cheesy as it might sound, there's actually some validity to it, that God created us each with a need, a hunger for the things of God and the ways of God. And the problem comes, the issue comes when we start trying to fill that void with everything else except for what will actually fill the hunger. And so when it comes to staying hungry, let's look at Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I guess it's not on there. It's just right here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does that say? That means that happy, blessed means happy. Happy are those who are hungry for, what is that big word, righteousness? It's really just about God's way of doing things. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness means happy are those. How many of you want to be happier in 2018? Okay, I do too. Happy are those who are hungry for God's way of doing things. So this verse says the word hunger. We're talking about stay hungry. So let's just look at the difference between hunger and appetite, because there is a difference. And that's what we're going to dissect a little bit today. Hunger is a physical need. Appetite is a desire or a want. For example, just in case you're not quite following along, in the morning when you wake up for breakfast, you may have an appetite to eat waffles or French toast or whatever your guilty pleasure is for breakfast. And I'm not a nutritionist, however, I'm pretty sure that to actually fill the hunger that your body is producing, that physical need, it probably needs something more like protein and healthy fats. Now, obviously, we're not just talking about food this weekend, but I want to get this idea in our heads that the appetites that we develop for certain things in our life will eventually lead us down a pathway. When we develop appetites for different areas of our life, that the desires and the wants that especially don't line up with God's best for our life, it's not ultimately filling the hunger that God put there in the first place, and we end up on a pathway that's far away from the actual pathway that God wanted us to exist on. And so when we think about this idea of staying hungry for God's best, let's just look at a short list of appetites that some of us might face. So there's the verse. It was there all along. This is kind of just a short list of different appetites that people might have. Obviously, food, that's an easy analogy we'll probably use a couple times tonight. People can have an appetite for sex. People can have, I said sex in church. It's okay, just breathe. Breathe it out. Progress, people can have an appetite for progress, right? The promotion, the raise, the dream job. They become workaholics because their appetite for progress consumes their life. Binging the next show to watch on Netflix or Hulu, a couple people. Appetite to win, appetite for money, appetite for power or respect, that appetite to be famous, to be loved, to be accepted, appetite for stuff. This is just a short list of the different appetites that people develop in their life. And what I want you to hear today is that you and I have no idea what God has planned for us to accomplish in our lifetime on this planet. There's no way for any of us to actually know what God has planned. And regardless of the amount of potential that's inside of you or that's inside of me, our response to our appetites, that's what's going to direct. That's what's going to dictate. That's what's going to actually show and give us the ability to reach our fullest potential that God has for us or not. Some of you grew up in a single-family home because of an appetite of one of the parents in your life took them away from your family unit. We all have seen appetites at work in other people, in ourselves. And only when we harness our appetites are we going to be able to reach the full potential that God has set out for each and every one of us. If we stay hungry for God's best in our life, if we choose to harness the appetites, first it's a matter of figuring out what it is that's driving us, those desires, those wants, and do they line up with God's best for our life? And if they don't, what can we do about it so that we can actually stay hungry for God's best? I want to look at a story in the Bible because our appetite has the ability to determine the direction of our life. And this is just one example from the Bible. Genesis 25. Once when Jacob was cooking some beans, Esau, his brother, came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of those red beans. I'm famished." Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright, like any younger brother would." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil beans. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Jacob and Esau, if you don't know, they are fraternal twins. Esau was literally born within seconds before Jacob came out of the womb. Even some say that Jacob was on the heel of Esau. So it wasn't even minutes had gone by. But Esau was born first, so he got the birthright. And they were totally different. I mean, Esau was known as like the outdoorsy, you know, hunter guy, brother. Jacob was more of like the indoorsy brother. And this whole thing about a birthright, we don't really understand it as much in our modern culture. But in their day, the birthright, the firstborn, it meant double inheritance, more than any of your other siblings. So there was a financial benefit. It meant that you become the judge and jury of your family. There was no democracy. It was all like a dictator, right? So there was power with the birthright. There was a sense of blessing. Somehow God would bless your family more as the firstborn son. So there was a spiritual implication involved. I didn't really understand the whole brother thing until I had two boys of my own. And I could see that the older brother, I mean, he's like 6 years older almost than his younger brother. So especially in his case, the older brother doesn't really need much from the younger brother, right? I mean, it's very rare that an older brother is going to need or want something that the younger brother has. And the younger brother always needs something or wants something from the older brother. And then there's those rare occasions when the older brother wants or needs something that the younger brother has. And smart younger brothers, hear me out, how many younger brothers do we have in the room? Or sisters, I'm a girl, we can include the girls. Younger siblings, they see that moment when the older sibling wants something. And the smart ones take full advantage. See, I was an only kid, so I didn't experience this myself. I'm living vicariously through my two sons. But enter Jacob. He's the younger brother. And here's the moment where he's cooking up some beans. And his older brother comes from the forest, starving, and he asks for some beans. And Jacob took full advantage of Esau. In that moment, Esau changed the entire course of his life and his legacy because he couldn't control his appetite. He traded his birthright. He traded the finances. He traded the power. He traded the spiritual blessing for a bowl of beans because he couldn't harness his appetite when he needed to the most. Something happens in our brain when we get locked in on something and our appetite gets stimulated and all of a sudden it gets magnified and our brain lies to us. It says that thing or that person or that house or that car or that piece of cake will be so extremely satisfying. And then we do the thing with the person or we buy the house or we eat the last piece of cake again from another cake. And then that whole thing of buyer's remorse sets in. Our appetites will determine the direction and ultimately the destiny of our lives. No matter how much potential you have inside of you or I have inside of me, if we cannot harness our appetites, we will not be able to see or accomplish the greatest potential and will of God in our lives. So as we're finishing this year well, no matter how many mistakes that we made, why not reset, hit the reset button in our minds, hit the reset button in our lives, and say, next year, things are going to be different. I'm going to choose to recognize my appetite, harness it, so that I can do all that God has called me to do in my life. So imagine, let's just think about this for a moment. Imagine Esau, right before he swears that oath, right before he gives his brother his birthright for a bowl of beans. What if, let's just take a moment and imagine, what if we could just hit pause, like time out. Esau, get over the fact that I'm from the future, you don't know who I am. Just listen to me, bro. You're gonna have 12 sons. And each of those sons is going to have a family. And they're all going to end up in Egypt, and they'll become slaves for a little bit. But in that time, they're going to become a mighty, mighty nation. They're going to be called the children of God. The entire people are going to be from your body. And then enter this guy named Moses. I know you don't know who Moses is, but just trust me. Moses, God calls this guy Moses. And Moses asks him, who are you? And God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. The God of the universe, Esau, the God of the universe is going to announce himself with your name. Okay, so you still want the beans because you're hungry. Okay. Another story. In 2,000 years, man, God is going to send his son to the planet to save everyone for all time. And this guy, Matthew, I know you don't know who Matthew is, but he's a tax collector, whether you know what that is or not. He's going to write a book that's going to end up in the Bible, and he's going to start the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with Abraham begot Isaac, who begot Esau. And maybe in that moment where we hit the pause button, if Esau and Jacob could get over the fact that somebody was there from the future, maybe it would change his mind and he would choose to move away from the beans, go into the house where there was likely other food available, and keep his birthright. But the fact is, nobody was there with Esau in his moment of decision. And chances are really high that nobody's going to be there with you or with me when we're staring at that bowl of beans and our appetite is ferocious. Nobody's going to be there to say, time out. Is this bowl of beans worth it? When you could see all of these things that God has planned for your future. Time out. Before you make this huge decision in your life or these little decisions that just build up over time, what if we could say, is this bowl of beans worth it? What if as we go into the new year, we just set our minds, once we recognize what that bowl of beans is in your life, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's just not applying yourself, maybe it's taking shortcuts, maybe it's that bowl of beans is spending too much or eating too much, or I don't know what your bowl of beans is, but whatever is holding you back from experiencing all that God has for you, what if we could look at that bowl of beans and instead of choosing that and allowing our appetite to rule us, what if we could ask ourselves, is this worth it? We could put that bowl of beans aside and we could rule our appetite. Imagine the difference. The difference that we would feel 365 days from now if we choose to harness our appetites this next year. Because you have no idea, and I have no idea, what God can do in you and through you this next year. And the only way that we'll truly experience it is if we can harness our appetite. So what do we do? What do we do to stay hungry for God's best? I'm going to see if this still works. Write down a list. Before we get to the end of the year, just write down a list. Write down a list of things that you want an appetite for. Those things that would draw you closer to God's best in your life. Those things, those appetites that would actually fill the hunger that God put inside of each of us. Just like you might not want that broccoli or that green anything in your diet. It's amazing how when you choose that you want an appetite for it and you start incorporating it into your life and you start to separate yourself from those things that distract from it, you actually begin to get an appetite for that thing that you wanted to have an appetite for. Some people, you hear us talk about giving or praying more or even worshiping, and you kind of grimace inside because you just don't have an appetite for it. And yet you know to experience God's best in your life, that's something that you need to have an appetite for, that you want to have an appetite for. Because it really could change your life. So write down a list. Write down a list of those things. Maybe it is praying more. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's worshiping. Think of things that, you know, are in the reps, like our progress icon, those reps that we talk about relationally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. What are those things that would take you toward God's best if you just had an appetite for it? Maybe it's reading your Bible more. Maybe it's having healthy relationships, not just any relationship, but pursuing healthy relationships. Maybe it's fasting more. Maybe it's choosing a good attitude. Maybe it's serving others. I'm just trying to seed you with some ideas of things that you could write down a list and have an appetite for this next year that will help you move your life forward toward God's best. The second thing, once we write down that list, we figure out what we want to have an appetite for. Work up an appetite. Work up an appetite for it. Once we recognize what we want to have an appetite for, it's important for us to actually work up an appetite for it. The good thing is that an appetite is something that we can shape. We can develop appetites for certain things, and we can turn off appetites for certain things. Doesn't mean maybe that they'll always be gone 100%, but if we can mute it, I guess would be a better way to think about it. And we focus on those appetites that will actually fill the hunger that God put inside of us. One way to work up an appetite for those things that you want is to create goals. I know that we're at the end of the year. I know you're hearing goal talk everywhere you go. But don't switch off just because you're hearing somebody else talk about it. It really is a game changer. When we write down our goals, when we write down our dreams, that's how we work up an appetite to actually get out of bed in the morning and read our Bible. That's how we work up an appetite to actually get to the gym and exercise our bodies. I had a friend several years ago that wanted to work up an appetite for working out, and so he would set his alarm, and his story was that he would actually get out of bed, take his pillow and blanket, and go sleep on the treadmill. So instead of hitting snooze in his bed, he would get out of bed, first time the alarm went off, take his pillow and his blanket, take it down to the treadmill, and usually fall back asleep. But you know what he was doing? He was starting somewhere. And eventually, after several times of sleeping on the hard treadmill, he decided it was about time he actually worked out on the treadmill. So he got out of bed, the habit that he had already started, first time the alarm went off, he got out of bed. And instead of taking that pillow and blanket down to the treadmill, he actually went and took a walk. Start somewhere. Don't be ashamed to start where you're at. I had a staff member tell me that they felt like they weren't really getting into their Bible reading, and so they weren't doing it. They just didn't have an appetite for it. And they just decided to do a 5-day reading plan on YouVersion. And committed to finishing 5 days. And then once they finished the 5 days, they found another one that was like 7 days. And they're like, all right, I'm going to commit to 7 days. And once they started reading their Bible, it was amazing. They wanted to read more of their Bible. Work up an appetite. Write down the goals. It's not about condemnation, you guys. It's really not. We're here to encourage you toward God's best in your life. And I hope that even just these couple of stories can encourage you to start where you are. Don't disqualify yourself from getting to your end goal because your appetite doesn't currently match up with it. We serve a God who is big enough to partner with you right where you are and take you where you want to go. If we're willing to do the hard work, God's right there and he's going to take us. The other side of it is staying hungry means feeling hunger sometimes. So many people are binging on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and they're getting all the content. I've done it. I'm not saying it's just you. I've done it myself. So this is from personal experience, okay? You're getting all the content, trying to fill the void or whatever, but it's like eating empty calories. You're getting an appetite filled, but you're not filling a hunger of God's content, God's word, filling your life. So sometimes staying hungry is, it's okay to feel hungry sometimes. And then what is that hunger? Oh, that's, I need to get in my word. I need to get in my Bible. I need to say hello to God today in prayer time. Maybe instead of turning on the radio, I need to listen to a worship album. I don't know what it is in your life, but work up an appetite. And then the last one is just work with the tools to support you. We don't want you to go into a new year without some tools to help you work up an appetite. These are just some practical tools that you can write down and look up later. But there's an Echo app. It's kind of flipped. Echo. It's a prayer app. It helps. It reminds you when to pray. It gives you a timer to pray. It's a great way if you want to increase your prayer life this next year. Echo prayer app. It's a great one. If you don't have YouVersion on your Bible, if you're not on your phone or your tablet, if you're not utilizing it, it's a great way to get into your word, get into the Bible. It has small reading plans. It has whole year reading plans. It has topical reading plans. It's a tool that we can use to work up an appetite for God's word in our life. You can also get our own church app or other church apps. There's great options available to us right on our phones. Instead of hitting Netflix all the time, we could actually hit a podcast or something that will fill the hunger in our life. Just working with the practical tools that are available. Maybe it's serving on a team, help you get around people to keep you accountable, help you get around people who have an appetite for the things that you want an appetite for. Serving on a team or even being in small groups. Just trying to give you ideas of how you can develop an appetite that's actually going to fill that hunger that's inside of you. Stay hungry for God's best this next year. Stay hungry for the right thing in the right way. What's at stake? We have no idea. I don't know the end of your story like we know Esau's story. And I think that's the beauty of it, that we have no idea what's at stake when it comes to our appetites. But if we can adjust our thinking to say, I will either be ruled by my appetite or I will rule them. And if I can rule my appetites, then I can reach the full potential that God has for my life, and I can see people saved and come into the kingdom of heaven, and I can see communities change, and I can see families change, and I can see those statistics change, and I can make a difference in my world, in my family, in my community, in my church. If I can harness these appetites, then I can make a difference and be all that God has called us to be. Come on, church, as we end this year, as we finish well, let's get away all of the distractions and let's start strong and be all that God has called us to be. We're going to sing a song together right now, and I just want you to think about, as you're going into this new year, just start identifying those things that maybe have been your bowl of beans that you need to walk away from, and then just start asking God to fill you up with these appetites that will help us get closer to God's best in our life.